Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please like, follow, and subscribe so that you never miss an episode, never ever miss an episode of It's Uplifting Conversations and Testimonies. Something's always here to inspire you. My guest today is celebrated keyboardist and saxophonist, vocalist, songwriter, arranger, and producer, gospel jazz artist, Richard. Okay, here we go again. Say that name again, Richard.
DeBru.
We talked off mic like, okay, Laura's going to get me for messing with C. Barry Martin, for messing up your name, DeBru. This fabulous brother was mentored by jazz great Max Roach, and he has shared the stage with celebrated artists like Patti LaBelle, Natalie Cole, and even Bishop T.D. Jakes. Some of you may have witnessed his gift at the famed Hampton Ministers Conference, and his latest release is Jazz in the Spirit. Richard DeBru Jr., welcome to the show. Oh, we're so happy, happy, happy to have you. Now, how are you doing? How's the family doing? You know, and how are you all just navigating this pandemic?
Oh, we're doing fine. A lot of work from home, as you can probably figure, but we've been making it work. It's a good time for creative people.
Oh, because you got to stay. You're at home, right? So you ain't got nothing else to do.
Right. So you have to create all kinds of things, sometimes from things that aren't even there. But, but I'm glad. One of the things that the pandemic did actually push me to do was to finish this project, which had been going on for quite a while.
Oh, okay. So it made you just get up and get to finishing it.
That's right.
Now, we know you're this gifted jazz artist. You know, you fused jazz and gospel, two of your loves, like, because you were one of those church folks, too. Now, how did you get started? Because I was reading that you, as a kid, were taking coat hangers and rubber bands or something and making a guitar.
Yes, I think I was probably about 3 years old, and my mom has told that story many times. I don't really remember doing it, but, you know, that's what she said, and so that's what I go with. But the guitar, that did give them the idea to get me started on the guitar I think I was 4 when I started. So it was kind of an interesting journey because I started on the guitar, then when I was about 11 is when I started the saxophone. But there was also a piano in the house, and my dad, although he didn't play professionally, he took lessons for years, and he was just about to stop right about that time when I came along. And so I used to just kind of sit on his lap and just do that thing that kids do to get their parents to I got them to show me stuff. And So that's kind of how I got started in it. In terms of the whole gospel jazz thing, it was kind of organic, because on the one hand, I grew up in a historic Baptist church, Concord Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York. Mm-hmm. And grew up on hymns and spirituals and anthems and gospel. And then my dad, once again, was a super jazz fan. And so we had some great albums in the house that he used to listen to, and I just by osmosis, Sonny Rollins, Grover mm-hmm. Washington, John Coltrane. A lot of them were saxophone players, as it turns out.
Oh, okay.
So when I started playing, it kind of came to me, because I knew, you know, kind of what the instrument was supposed to sound like. So, you know, the gospel and the jazz thing kind of fused together, I think, during my high school years. And it just kept going from there.
You named some of the jazz artists that you listened to. Who were some of the gospel folks that you also listened to? Because you had to listen to both in order to fuse the two.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I love choir music. And I came up at a time when there were all of these great choirs. You had Milton Brunson and Thompson Community Singers, the Tommies, as they call them.
Mm-hmm.
They had the L.A. Mass Choir, Walt Whitman, and the Soul Children's Choir of Chicago. Then you also had the ensembles, like the Richard Smallwood Singers, the Hawkins, Commissioned, and the Whitehands, and, you know, mm-hmm. Art Sisters, and so many others. So it was kind of just an amalgam of gospel artists mixed together with the jazz artists. So, and I think growing up in church and singing in the youth choir and then later in the college choir, was the power of gospel music was just always there. I think for me, because I was an instrumentalist, and I really wasn't like a, you know, someone who put myself out there as a singer per se, saxophone became my singing.
Okay.
So that's kind of how it came together. And I had to just get better and better as my ideas got more expansive.
Oh, well, because you're right. I never thought of it like that before, Richard, when the saxophone is like the, I guess to me, it's like the female voice.
Mm-hmm.
The lead, the soloist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Definitely. And my particular favorite saxophone is alto, which is very much in the female voice range. And I've done lots of songs by female artists as instrumental solo, Yolanda Adams or, okay. You know, Karen Clarkshire, you know, some of those folks. Now, I couldn't sing their parts at all. But
you couldn't sing them, but you could play them.
That's right.
What was one of your favorite songs that you can think of from that female voice?
Well, there's one that I've played many times. It's called Open My Heart by Yolanda Adams.
Oh, yes.
And it makes for a great instrumental too, even if you didn't know the words, because I've played it in places where they haven't even heard of Yolanda Adams.
Really?
Like, oh man, that's a really beautiful song. Yeah, because the thing about gospel jazz is that on the jazz side of things, you know, I'm not always playing in church by any means, mm-hmm. and so you know, I've played the song in clubs and other kinds of venues, theaters or whatever, on tour, and people are just like, man, that is nice. Where'd you get that from? Yolanda Adams. They don't know who that is.
And see, blessing folks are outside of the genre, and they don't even know it.
That's right. That's one of the beauties of this music. I think it has the ability to bring people together from very diverse backgrounds, and they're able to both enjoy it at the same time, which I think is one of the great effects and the great blessings of gospel jazz.
Now, speaking of gospel jazz, I'm going to go dip a little bit into your education. We talked off mic that I said you were one of the few musicians, or may have mentioned earlier, my mind goes and comes, right? some of my friends going to be listening to this. They go, yeah, we know it goes and comes. But well, we're talking about your musical training. You're one of the few that I have talked to or interviewed that actually has formal musical training beyond high school. So you went to Brown University and did a thing called ethnomusicology. So talk to me about your experience at Brown, and then there's Berkeley, and then ethnomusicology.
Sure. I love to talk about ethnomusicology. I was the only, in my graduating class, I was the only ethnomusicology specialist in my whole graduating class. There is, inside of the music major, there are three specialties. There's theory and composition, there's music history, and then there's ethnomusicology. And the issue is perspective. So whereas the traditional music major that you would have in most schools has a strong focus on Western, what they call Western art music or classical music, and that's not what I grew up on. I mean, I knew about it, but it wasn't, you know, like some of my classmates who had been in orchestras, and that was the main thing that they studied. But and one of the unfortunate things is that Western music tends to impose its own worldview on the music that it analyzes. And one of the great things about ethnomusicology is that it allowed us to study cultures and the music that from other cultures from the inside. In other words, to not try to impose our own rules about what it sounds like or what it means to us, but to try to understand it from the perspective of those who make it. And that also enabled me to write about things like blues and gospel and Balinese gamelan and also the music of Puerto Rico and Cuba and West African drumming, and the list goes on.
Okay.
But it was very exciting to me. So that was my focus at Brown, and wonderful education I got there. And I decided to continue to Berkeley because by that time I had decided that I was going to pursue music for a living. And so while I was at Berkeley, I specialized in saxophone performance and songwriting, which are still my two foci for today. You know,
okay.
I write a lot of songs, and of course, I love my singing voice.
Do you ever write or produce anything for any other artists other than yourself?
Oh, yeah. My good friend, We grew up together at Concord, and of course, you know, Keith became a big star and stuff, but Sonia wanted to do an album. It was called Worship from the Heart back in 2007, and because we had known each other for years, and she knew, you know, that I played and all that stuff, I produced that album for her, and we actually had Keith singing on a song, too, which was nice. She did a great job. There are a few other friends of mine, Stick Bones, who's a drummer and producer, who also played drums on my album. I worked with him on his album that came out in 2006. It was called Grooves Like This. So there have been a few over the years, but this is my first debut, if you will.
Oh, so this is your premiere, your debut, your first big on this. That's why I'm saying the country, this is the big one.
Yes, indeed. And I'm really excited about it.
Before we talk about that project, tell me some of the other folks that you've had the privilege to work with besides Max Roach.
Oh, okay. So while I was at Berkeley and then thereafter and some of those formative years, I had a lot of great opportunities to work with some great people. When I was in Boston, we actually performed behind James Taylor, Patti LaBelle, Natalie Cole, and then later on, when I came to New York, the great Bishop, T.D. Jakes. Mm-hmm. It was amazing that he came to a not a huge church, it was sort of a mid-sized church in Brooklyn, and just like that, I was on the stage with Bishop T.D. Jakes. It kind of happened by accident, in a way, because I was up there, but he was such a commanding presence, and he just kind of, his whole aura just took over the room, so we just went with it, and the other musicians who were there, we just created this, as they say, shifting of the atmosphere that happened in that room, and it was just a magical experience. Hezekiah Walker, James Hall, Worship and Praise, some of the other Brooklyn notables, David Bratton, who's the writer of Every Praise, he's getting out there now too, doing a lot of great things. He's a good friend of mine, and the list goes on.
So you've just been just working, praising, either doing your jazz, your blues, and this is now your jazz in the spirit. So talk to me about jazz in the spirit and how it came to be.
Well, jazz in the spirit, as I was saying before, is really about creating community. And it does that through the music in the sense that it is able to bring people who would not necessarily have anything to do with each other together. There have been folks who just are not church people at all. They just have no interest in that. Mm-hmm. But they have found an address in this music. And then there are folks that are only church people who have also found an address in this music. And, you know, our performances, whether they be at a museum, whether they be at a venue, at a church, wherever, we've been able to bring people together in a unique way. And that's one of the powers of Jazz in the Spirit. And really, it's been intentional because I see, as a person who has studied the music as well, I see this as the logical evolution of all the way back to the spiritual, because it gave rise to most of what we know as American music today. Mm. And so gospel and jazz, I see as coming from the same root, but they had been separated, very much like our ancestors were separated as families during slavery. And then they're now coming back together. And so I feel like the season of the 2020s are really kind of like a gospel jazz season coming into its own finally after many years of living on the fringes.
They have all come together now.
That's right.
Now, what are some of the songs on this album that, and especially the ones that you really love and you just want us to all to just gravitate to, like, you gotta really get into this one? They're all wonderful because everybody thinks all their music is wonderful. They're like children. But but this right here, you got to get to that one.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll start with Light of the World. Right now, that's one of the ones that's getting a lot of airplay and attention and so on. Light of the World, it's often sung during Christmas time, but it could be sung year-round. And there's actually even a line dance called the Walk in the Light that we've created. And I want to eventually let people know about that. But we can say more about that a little bit later. But it's in a, especially at a time like this, when there's so much darkness and there's so much heaviness that's going on all over the world, all over the country, I feel like this is a time for us to see the light of the world and to really turn to the light of the world for hope, for inspiration, and just for just a sense that you can keep going. You don't have to just sit and wallow and be down and depressed.
Yes.
So that's definitely one of them. And you, like you said, they're all my babies.
yeah.
But one that has probably been a favorite of just about everyone, including all of my parents and parents-in-law, is a song called Only Want to Serve You. And that's also on the album. And that one really encompasses the vision of Dev and the Spirit, which is to not only serve God, but to serve others. So whenever I introduce the song and I talk about Only Want to Serve You, it has a double meaning, because so often we focus on the vertical relationship and we forget about the horizontal relationship. It's mm-hmm. like, I, but what about we? And, mm-hmm.
I love all of that. You speak so eloquently about your music.
Thank you very much. Grandma would be proud.
as they should be.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, okay. So how can people support your music, and how can they find Jazz in the Spirit out there in the musical atmosphere?
Okay. Well, the music is available. The album is called Jazz in the Spirit, and it is available on all the digital platforms, iTunes, Amazon, all those kinds of things to download. It's also available on all the streaming platforms, and I have physical copies of the CD as well. So for those of you that, I won't say they're old school, because I guess I'm old school, but some folks like to have something in their hands.
In your hands, right, in your hands. Gotta have it in your hand.
So I've made those available too. And those are available through my website, which is jazzinthespirit.com. So at the moment, there's a little, some kind of technical thing going on with my website. But you can still reach out to me on all the social media outlets, which if you remember the name Jazz in the Spirit, you'll find me, because I have a Facebook page that's Jazz in the Spirit. I have an Instagram page that's Jazz in the Spirit. I have a Twitter page that's Jazz in the Spirit. And I have a YouTube channel that's Jazz in the Spirit Video. So between that and Googling my name, DeBreu, DeBreu, you could definitely find me.
Because I don't know anybody else, Richard, with that last name. So you should be easy to find.
Thank you.
All right, Richard DeBreu Jr., thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of Linwood's Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. And audience, thank you. You and you too, right over there. Yeah, you, for joining us today. I really, really do appreciate you stopping by, listening, getting uplifted and inspired. Now make sure that you subscribe right now so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting podcast. And you're welcome to donate by hitting the donate button. But you know, that depends upon which platform you are listening to us on, since we are international. Now to reach me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on Twitter. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOODS. Yes, or Instagram at LynnWoods96. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. But before we go, we're going to let you listen to just a taste of Richard DeBreu's song, Light of the World, from the album or the CD. Yeah, he does have CDs. Jazz in the Spirit. God bless.